Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Yeah! Duh! I told you the show has no censor. Calm to it. It's KJ and Lyons, hour three. The show moves fast here on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. You don't want to miss Sportstoberfest, where John and I crack them open right here on the show. You will enjoy the Peyton Pritchard 4-3 IPA. We'll give our reviews. We'll even go to Oktoberfest. That's within 30 minutes here. Look, the Celtics have an interesting game, I think, against the Sixers Saturday. And I think the Sixers are going to be one of these teams. Like, I think the Celtics, even outside of Denver, because Denver's already been a champion, like, they're not really going to push the engine. Like, in Abu Dhabi, it was really kind of like a demonstration of how the NBA works. And if you have a pledge card, if you like to buy the Celtics, come talk to us over at the booth.
Are you willing to pay the repeater tax? If so, exactly. You can buy the Celtics.
Stop by the Celtics booth just outside the arena and provide your information. No, but seriously, I think teams like Philadelphia and then the Knicks, obviously opening night, are going to be teams that are going to want to try and prove something to push and test the mettle of the Celtics, even if it's a preseason game. Like the 76ers, you've heard me say, I really don't think they're a threat because they're now like, okay, who really gets the ball at the end of the game? And is Tyrese Maxey the guy on the outs? I just think that the Celtics, we've never seen, at least they're not since 08, but even with that 08 team, you had like Hall of Fame heading veterans on that team. Like Paul Pierce was already in the league almost 10 years?
I think it was his 10th year.
It was right, yeah. Okay.
Garnett was 12.
Right. Allen was probably, I think he came in the year after Garnett. So you literally had like kind of the Hall of Fame big three, where here it's kind of like you have the homegrown big two and some great role players that who are turning themselves into stars, and others who are high-level caliber players at their position in the league. But to have their mettle test, I think it's going to be different than when you tried to test Garnett and, well, you know, Ray Allen disappears. But you know, when those guys have to start defending their title back in 9-10, in 8-9, right? Yeah. You know, this is going to be a little bit different. That's why I think this preseason game against the Sixers will be interesting to watch.
You there? Oh, I think you're did your mic just?
No, I'm right here.
Oh, okay. No, it went off in like the middle of a sentence. Yeah. So I think Philly, to me, I disagree with you on Philly, and that I think they're the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East. And it's a lot of it has to do with Tyrese Maxey, because I think you have Nick Nurse, a head coach that's won a championship recently with a big star in Kawhi Leonard. You have an MVP player in Joel Embiid, and Paul George signed there. And I think, look, he may not be the Paul George of 4 or 5 years ago, but that's still a really good all-star level player who's also a wing that I think fits really well with Embiid. And then you have Maxey at guard, who frankly I think is going to end up being better than Paul George by the end of this year, and a borderline all-NBA level player this year to kind of run the offense and also take some of the scoring load off then. So I actually think Philly can be the biggest threat to the Celtics. And I think to your point about the preseason game coming up, they're going to try to push that, I think, early and often, right? Because how many years have they taken the little brother seat to the Celtics? Like, even those years that the Celtics would blow it against the Heat, we could still always chalk up, oh, they'll beat James Harden and Embiid and the Sixers, right? They want to show, I think, right away that this is different.
Well, this is why I think Philly isn't necessarily the threat, is because you have some of that similar DNA of like, all right, remember that series with Philly, James Harden, game one, pretty much wins it himself, and then starts feeling like he has to defer to Joel Embiid.
In game four, he played really well. And then like game seven, he had 9 points or whatever. Like he was a no-show.
Right. So I'm totally with you. I think the most important person on that team in terms of it operating correctly is Tyrese Maxey. But I think the rule still is you've got to run your offense through Joel Embiid. And what does that mean for Paul George when it comes to taking shots towards the end of the game? If you told me that, hey, you're trying to go to Embiid down in the paint or and the double team comes to him, okay, yeah, Paul George isn't a bad choice to get the ball to. But what we've seen, the person who might work best off of that is Tyrese Maxey, or even Tyrese Maxey initiating the offense where you want teams to collapse to him and then have Embiid and Paul George, there. Where with Paul George, you almost feel like Paul George is going to try and take the shot. And not necessarily, he might move the ball to Embiid. I think the concern would be how Paul George and Tyrese Maxey will get along on the off the ball when they have the opportunity to take the shot. And if Tyrese Maxey is the person who kind of gets forgotten, this is where I think Philly messes some things up, just the same way that they started messing those things up with when you had Ben Simmons and then you also, who was it, Ben Simmons?
It was Simmons, Harden,
and Joel Embiid.
Yeah, remember when they had Jimmy Butler too and they picked Tobias Harris instead?
I'm surprised that Tobias Harris is still not there. He feels like he was like the Bobby Dahlback of the Philadelphia.
Yeah, he was just like the guy that was never good. He was there. He's there. What's the guy, Udonis Haslam on the Heat? He's just always going to be
there. A very expensive Udonis Haslam.
Yeah.
Like permanent furniture. But the team that I do have a concern about is the team they play opening night, and that's the Knicks. And here's why. I know they had the whole Villanova thing going on. I guess it's cool if you're playing FIFA where you got guys all matching from the same country. They have a better continuity. But I think with getting rid of Julius Randle, it then eliminates a guy who's supposed to be big but is too small to be big, right? Like, I can't remember the tall guy's name. He's a defensive specialist for the Knicks, Robinson. I can't think of it. I think that's his last name.
Mitchell Robinson?
Robinson. Okay. That's it. It's not Duncan.
It. Okay, yeah.
Duncan is considerably shorter and
the annoying guy on the Heat.
And considerably lighter. So, when you've got Mitchell Robinson there who's just defensive size, you're like, okay, you don't have to worry about running offense through him. And if Julius Randle is trying to get his offense going, they're going to kind of bump each other in the same area, right? So you remove Randle, and now you can put Cat out there who can stretch your big. And this is why I think that's an issue for the Celtics because, hey, they can stretch Porzingis and get him away from being a rim protector. And at the same time, Cat can at least competitively defend Porzingis when Porzingis is from the outside. So I feel like the Knicks now have more matching pieces. I still give the advantage, obviously, to the Celtics because I don't think there's anything that's going to usurp the Celtics' backcourt. I mean, think about the backcourt. It's Derek White. It's Jaylen Brown.
It's two all defensive guys. Like two. Right. And if Drew Holiday, defensive guys. Right. And to me, you mentioned Porzingis. I think the Knicks made the Karl Anthony Towns trade for one reason, and it's because of Porzingis on the Celtics. These guys, first of all, they're similar in size. They're similar in their overall numbers, but you look at even the advanced numbers like catch and shoot threes. Porzingis is 41.6, Cat's 42.4, pretty close there. They're extremely similar players. I think, though, there's one area where the Celtics, or two areas really, but one especially, the Celtics have a distinct edge here. Believe it or not, Porzingis is actually a much better post-up offensive player than Karl Anthony Towns. And that's what the Knicks are going to have to figure out.
That's where Mitchell Robinson kind of comes in, right? Karl Anthony Towns wouldn't defend Porzingis in the post. It would be Mitchell Robinson most likely.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying, right?
Sure, so, but would they? I don't think they would get equivalent production, if needed, out of the post. And also, defending the pick and roll, Porzingis is a much better pick and roll defender than Towns. And I know there's ways to avoid getting Towns caught in that, but if they're in a playoff series against, say, the Bucks with Dame and Giannis, and they try to go pick and roll all the time, or Maxey and Embiid and George, and they try to do that all the time, that to me is where the Karl Anthony Towns trade, again, I think it's an answer to Porzingis, and I think it's a pretty darn good answer, but I think those two things I still put in the Celtics' favor when it comes to that matchup.
I would even think if Karl Anthony Towns tries to take it inside, You probably put Horford on him because you'll
Horford's
get a little,
done a good job with those big dudes.
Right. You can get a little more mass onto Karl Anthony Towns, and that could disrupt him a little more. I think part of the play is if you can get Porzingis in foul trouble or Horford in foul trouble early, I think this is kind of the game plan of a lot of these teams in the East. They then get very thin, and you now have to say, okay, if Tatum has to be back there to be part of some type of rim protection, it's not what you would want to do because you don't want him to get too close to fouls, have him out of the game, and then suddenly the Celtics start to look small. So my question is, especially with Porzingis not going to be around at least until December, you do have to think about Al Horford's minutes. Look, I like Xavier Tillman. I really do, but he's not one of these guys that are going to like a 6'11 banger. He's closer to like the 6'7, 6'8 size, like a little shorter than Horford. So he's more like a Horford light, if you will. So you would say, is there someone that you could potentially go get on the market or make a deal for to say, hey, this person is someone who may not have to eat up a lot of minutes. They can rotate with Xavier Tillman based on the matchups to be that backup to, obviously, Horford right away and then eventually to Horford and Porzingis. Maybe it's a person that doesn't really get runs but will be clearly needed. If I presented this name to you, tell me if you think this wouldn't be a bad idea. DeAndre Jordan, Denver Nuggets.
I think it's unnecessary. Like, again, and I like the player, like the career, and if they got him, I'm not against it. But I look at, and the thing you're describing, needing those Porzingis and Horford minutes and the lighter load, is a legitimate issue the first 3 months of the year. And then even moving further, because you and I know it, right? We did a bunch of Celtics post games. You just want Porzingis healthy in May and June, right? Like, that's really the goal here. And Horford, too. I just think you can get those minutes out of Cornette and Nemus Keita, too. Like, those two guys, because if you look at it, I mean, Nemus Keita last year, I know it was like 25 games or whatever, 4 points, five rebounds, or 4 points, four, or 5 points, excuse me, four rebounds a game. Like, that's very similar to DeAndre Jordan right there.
Would you go to them for 3 to 5 minutes if they had to guard Embiid in deep into the playoffs?
Three to five minutes, yes. A whole game, I wouldn't love it. But 3 to 5 minutes. But also, Cornette's an interesting guy because we saw against Indiana in the conference finals, I thought he played bad. But that wasn't a good matchup for him. Speed team, ran up and down the floor. But then we saw him earlier in the playoffs when Porzingis first got hurt against Miami, against Cleveland. I mean, I thought he did okay in those series. It wasn't obviously Porzingis, but, I mean, Bam Adebayo didn't take over the Miami series once Porzingis went down, and part of that was Horford and Tillman, too. And then at Cleveland, they had Jared Allen was hurt, right. So in fairness, but none of their bigs took anything over with Cornette. So I just, again, I think if we're talking 4 or 5 minutes and those Porzingis and Horford minutes the first 3 months, I look at Nemus Keita and I look at Luke Cornette, and I think the two of them combined can give you the production a guy like DeAndre Jordan would give you.
But I'm also one of those guys that says if you're defending your championship, like, you almost can't do it with your same exact guys. Like, you have to do these little different tweaks, and those tweaks could be things, players that don't require a lot of minutes, but that you really acquire them for key moments, right? Like, if you told me that DeAndre Jordan had to go in there, say, for 4 or 5 minutes and handle Embiid in the post because the other guys are in foul trouble, I would say at least this guy has done this before. He hasn't been used so much during the season. I'm not saying this is a guy you have to get right away, but this is a guy that you pick up as another body where you say, hey, this guy may be responsible for a key block or a key charge or a key foul that he was able to get and be committed to that may have him have extended minutes in a game and the Celtics go on a run and they move forward. Or similar with a Karl Anthony Towns in a Celtics series against the Knicks. Like, there needs to be another veteran big body that doesn't require more than being a moment guy. I don't know if Cornette or Keita are able to give you those moments just yet. Maybe we'll see it during the season, but the playoffs are a completely different thing. And if you have a chance to have a guy who has playoff experience, that you just, it's really a one-and-done rental, that's fine.
Yeah, and that original point you brought up, I think, is an interesting one, because I agree with your premise that if you want to defend a championship, it's good to bring back, you know, the core, but maybe have a little bit of new blood there that hasn't won one or is hungry. And for the Celtics, look, you can compare, not compare, whatever, by the numbers, they were a top 10 or 15 team of all time, at least for one season. Like, that's an elite group that you want to bring them all back. And I look at their rotation, and the only guy I can find in their rotation that's new that I can think, Lonnie Walker IV, who I think, you know, could be a legit contributor, but is that enough new blood? Or they do we have enough faith they'll just keep it sharp in their own right, which personally I do. But it's an interesting
veteran
point.
Blood. It's that veteran blood, right? Veteran, yeah. DeAndre like Jordan's.
Yeah,
right,
sorry,
he's been the backup for Denver when they've won those championships. So he knows the rigmarole of long series, of going in there to bang against some guys. Like, he's gone in there and given them minutes against Anthony Davis. You know, so, you know, when you've been able to do that, or even when you look at who you may be facing once you get to the Western Conference, what if you start to see the size? What if you see the size of Minnesota? Now I'm going to ask you again, like, do you believe that Kornet can get the job done against that frontline size? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's just also, though, I don't know. Can DeAndre Jordan still do that? Like the combination of Kornet and Kata. Does
but
that
that's
give
two
you
people
more?
Right.
But does that? But they're both there. So like, does depending on the matchup, give you more athleticism than DeAndre Jordan? Like, is he? Because what's DeAndre Jordan? 37, 38,
36.
Okay, so, you know, Horford's age. Does that give you? Does he still have that athleticism in him from, say, those Clippers days or those Lakers days?
I don't
days?
Even think you need all that. I think you just need solid defense and the premise of being able to get key rebounds, maybe make a key block, and get the ball moving forward. There's not going to be any offense call for you. Maybe, if anything, you can run pick and roll off of him, high pick and roll, where you've got a big body there, but you'll never dump down for the roll. Maybe you do, and he's just left unavailable, right? I mean, just available to the basket by himself. So,
yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thought.
We're not talking
point,
Lob
but,
City here.
Yeah, you know? No, it's an interesting thought, and I agree with your premise. It's good to have some new blood. I don't want to say they don't need it, you know, and be arrogant, but it's just I look at their roster and I'm
just
like,
"Because you're Homer, you're like the guys
no,
over here. That's what we're going."
I mean, I'm looking at a team that just, you know, was a top five team in net rating ever and blew through the playoffs. So,
but
I'm
even
like,
the greats make adjustments. Right?
Sure, sure. I get that. So, do they? I'm wary of changing too much, I guess.
Well, yeah. We'll look at the '86 Celtics, who was not here right. from '85. Right. That, you know, they let Cedric Maxwell go, and they bring in Bill Walton, who hadn't won a championship in 10 years, but he was able to prove his mettle for what he was there to do or here to do.
Yeah, I compare these Celtics more to the recent Warriors dynasty, which they added Durant, but then after that they kept the exact same team essentially for three straight years and went to three straight finals, won two champs. Like, and again, I'm not saying it's that level good yet, but like that, I think that's kind of the track they could be on, and that's what they're trying to build.
Well
mostly because of the age of their stars.
Well, one year
too.
There's an Andrew Bogut in there to help out, and then who's the other, like some of the other role guys?
Sure, like Iguodala won the finals.
Iguodala,
MVP
right?
15,
Kevin,
like,
Kevon Looney is one of those guys that, you know, once he gets on the scene there, so. Yeah, it'd be interesting as the season goes on. I don't think it's something that has to be addressed now at
it
all.
It is
I
worth monitoring, though, because if right they start out with Kornet and Kata and those guys aren't cutting it November, December, then, yeah.
Or in key games where people you know you're going to face in the playoffs.
Sure, Christmas Day against Philly, you know, something like that.
Right, or even the Knicks right off the bat, that's going to be a test right there as well. All right, KJ and Lyons here on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937, still to come. Sports-toberfest, but now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo met with the media this morning and officially announced that third overall pick, Drake May, will start Sunday's Week 6 matchup against the Houston Texans. Pats welcome Houston to Gillette Stadium this Sunday, kickoff set for 1 p.m. In other Patriots news, the NFL has placed safety Jabril Peppers on the commissioner's exempt list after he was arrested last weekend on assault and drug possession charges. Peppers cannot be with the team while on the exempt list. Bruins kicked off their 2024-25 campaign last night in Florida, taking on the defending Stanley Cup champion Panthers, and there was no cup hangover for Florida. 6-4 was your final from Sunrise. Goal scorers for the Bruins were Pavel Zacha, Charlie McAvoy, Trent Frederick, and David Pastrnak. Bees will return home tomorrow night to take on the Canadiens. Puck drop from the Garden set for 7 p.m. And don't forget, you can catch Christian Arcand and Andy Hart with the WEEI Afternoon Show, broadcasting live from Scores by the Garden, 2 to 6 p.m. All four division series in action across baseball today. Tigers took a 2-1 series lead over the Guardians with a 3-0 win in Detroit. The Mets are looking to eliminate the Phillies. Currently, they're leading 4-1 in the top of the ninth inning. Royals and Yankees facing off in Kansas City. Yankees lead that one 1-0 in the top of the fifth. And finally, Padres looking to eliminate the Dodgers. That one set to go down at 9:08 from San Diego. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Lions coming up after this.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back to KJ and Lions on WEEI.
KJ and Lions on WEEI. Thanks so much for hanging out on a Wednesday night. You know, John, it's interesting those words from Craig Breslow on Baseball Isn't Boring podcast with Brad Foe. Is it seems like a more expansive way of full throttle, right? Like, here's what's bothersome about it to me looking at this today. The Mets just beat the Phillies. The Dodgers are on the brink of elimination. Look what the Tigers are doing. Look what the Royals are doing. And I think the argument, like what the Mets did just by acquiring Francisco Lindor, is why you try and make big moves, whether or what Tarik Skubal is doing for Detroit, even though he's homegrown. But you go get stars for moments that are going on right now. Like, tell me, like, I'll be honest right now. I would rather not be here right now and the Red Sox be playing in some exciting October baseball playoff game. Would you not?
Oh, my. KJ, this time 3 years ago, I was going to game three of the ALCS. It was amazing at Fenway Park. Like, I'd much rather be doing, like, you look at these teams, all right, that are playing well right now. Like, the Royals signed Seth Lugo. The Tigers have Tarik Skubal, who I know they kind of developed in their own.
But it addresses the pitching.
It addresses it. But even, like, look at what Fernando Tatis Jr. is doing for the Dodgers these playoffs. Like, he's hitting.
They were almost ready to move off of him.
Do you know what? And look, I know it's five games in the playoffs so far. You know what his average is in these five games, KJ?
556.
All that's right, like good. A high school number.
Do I win the grand prize because not only
you were just
I win both showcases? You
know? Yeah. And I know Mookie Betts has struggled in the playoffs the last few years, but two hits and a homer last night, and he hit .292 for the Dodgers the year they won the World Series. Like, you got to have at least some big dog. Look at the Mets. The Mets just beat the Phillies. The Phillies have an elite roster, but who hit the grand slam for the Mets to put them over the top?
The guy they went to go get.
Exactly. Right? Like, you have to have some of those guys. And the example that I use a lot is look at the Houston Astros in 2017. They built from within just like the Red Sox and drafted and developed and had all their own guys. They still traded for Justin Verlander to put them over the top. Like, you still have to go out, whether it's pitching, hitting, or a mix of both, you still have to go out and get yourself some big dogs because you're going to develop some big dogs in-house, but you're not going to have enough of them, or at least highly unlikely, to win a World Series with just your own guys.
I just feel like the Red Sox are starting to become a franchise that players in baseball and baseball overall is kind of moving on from. Like, it was kind of sexy and fun while it lasted. Like, different from the Cubs, right? Because the whole thing with the Cubs, and I predate, you probably don't remember, but I do remember when the Cubs only played daytime games, the lights weren't installed until like 88. So there's always been this, the Cubs are kind of like a day drinking thing, and it's always been that. So, like, okay, the year they won a championship, they went out and got key players. They kind of did they pulled the Miami Marlins thing, like kind of like rent a team, so that way they could say they have a championship. But let's just call it what it is. The Cubs have not really been beating or kicking down doors to try and get back to that place because now they can say, hey, we're no longer the lovable losers, but we're pretty much still kind of that hangout spot in the neighborhood. Where with the Red Sox, this is a sports town where the Red Sox are the first love of the sports fandom here, right? That's the first love. The Patriots were long bad. The Celtics, I'll put it this way, you probably have to have a microfiche film machine to be able to really capture those heydays of the six in a row. You're talking to someone now who might be in their 80s or 90s who saw that as an active youth. Okay, so there was this kind of this window where the Celtics were bad and they weren't the championship team. And then with the Bruins, it's been kind of hit or miss, but a lot of misses. So the Red Sox have always been that consistent. Of course, obviously, they play the most games. And to let that go, I think, would be such a disservice, because now you don't feel like this team is even in the competition to get what the Yankees are going after, right? Like, it was not like, hey, if Juan Soto's unhappy in New York, maybe the Red Sox would be in the mix. That used to be the talk.
Yeah, and now, actually, so, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but that just, there was a new trailer released today by Netflix for their Red Sox 2004 documentary, which, by the way, looks amazing. But there was a quote in there that said, I know. But there was a quote in there that said the Red Sox made a decision they were going to compete dollar for dollar with the Yankees for high-end talent, and that's what helped put them over the top. It's funny you bring that up, because 20 years, or really 21 years ago, because it started in 03, but they made a decision, we're going to compete with these guys for high-end talent. They didn't get everybody, right? They didn't get A-Rod, but they got Curt Schilling, right? And they had Manny Ramirez before that. So they didn't get everybody, but they got enough. They got Keith Folk, too, to put them over the top and to win a World Series. I mean, KJ, they've won four World Series this century. They've been top three in payroll all four times.
Well, like, here's the other thing. Don't you feel like some of this nostalgia is the shiny object to distract you from what's not happening in front of you right now? Like
that's the Dynasty Doc?
Right, or like this, like we go back 20 years so that way you could be like, oh, this is when I fell in love. Oh, this was just such a magical time. Meanwhile, who's signing up with the team? Nobody, you know. So yeah,
Lucas Giolito,
right? It's like a shot of nicotine. Shout out to those who've quit smoking. But it's like that shot of nicotine. I'm going to show you this Netflix doc, and hopefully, people like ourselves will get to talk about it and relive it. And my thing is, nah, damn it, what have you done for me lately? This is starting to become a nuisance and annoying. And you almost have to say, hey, what is Detroit doing that now they're getting the shine? And you feel like, and the Royals as well, that they're saying, hey, we can kind of take advantage of what's going on with the other sport in town, football, to marry these two together. Detroit Lions, turn around. What are they doing? Using that energy for the baseball team. Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, whatever a referee will make sure to do that they become the talk or make sure they win that game, put them right next to the Royals. Where with here, the Red Sox should always be able to be a standalone despite what the Patriots are or are not doing. Because this is the first time we're really seeing over the last 3 years what the Patriots are not doing. But at the same time, we're getting what the Red Sox are not doing.
Yeah, I agree completely. And the thing about just the nature of the MLB, there's a handful of teams that actually have the resources that they can be good every year. And I'm not saying they can win the World Series every year, but they can be a playoff team, say, 4 out of 5 years, and a World Series contender at least 3 out of every 5 years. And there's probably 4 or 5 teams that really fit that mold, and the Red Sox are one of them. I mean, it's the Yankees, Mets, Cubs, Dodgers, Red Sox. Those are the teams with the resources in money, in fan interest, in resources internationally as well, and brand appeal, that they can be able to do that. And we see the Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009, so they've failed. But over the last 4 or 5 years, they've at least been a playoff team, consistent contender. The Dodgers have been one of the best teams in the major leagues the last 10 years, and I know they've only won one, I get it. And the Cubs, of course, 1-16, but they are also in the kind of the Red Sox category where I feel like they don't do enough. But the Red Sox are one of those handful of teams. They should be able to, 4 out of every 5 years, be in the playoffs, and 3 out of every 5 years, be a World Series contender. And we're going on, KJ, what, in the last 6 seasons, they've been a World Series contender once, and they've made the playoffs that one time?
Well, but if you look at what's going on, like in a correlation between baseball and the NFL, either one of those teams started to catch up with the NFL team is doing, or the NFL team is feeding off the energy of the MLB team. So look at the Orioles. Who's their NFL team? The Ravens. So now you talk about like historical in terms of how much money they have to spend. There's also the other thing is the repeat spender. If you're excited about watching a Ravens game, I can probably convince you to come out one out of three nights during the week to come see an Orioles game. So now you're going to make sure, hey, the Orioles and the Ravens match up together. Look at Houston. The Houston baseball team has been pretty much carrying the sports ledger there. But now the football team. So now you got the football team and the baseball team kind of merging together. I mean, even like I mentioned,
there's
with
even
Detroit.
A couple of years in there, the Houston Rockets were like in the conference finals and like kind of hanging and, you know, at least in the conversation.
Right. But that's kind of, I'm talking about in terms of like how bad the Texans got after a while, how the Astros kind of picked up that mantle, and now how Houston has a really good football team and a consistent baseball team. So you now have people being willing to spend multiple dollars, multiple times in a week, right? So even if you look at the situation with the Twins, even though they're not in the playoffs, they made a playoff run and they've got an NFL team that's on a positive trajectory. Same thing with the Braves. The Braves got a good baseball team. The football team is now part of the conversation. The Mets and the Jets, those go together. The Yankees are always going to be bigger than any sports team in New York City. I don't care who it is, no matter even how big the Giants are, the Yankees are the biggest thing in New York. So they're the ones that kind of carry that mantle. So if you start to look at how some of those things kind of marry with each other, even the Dodgers and now having two NFL teams right there in LA as well. So the Dodgers are always going to be the strongest thing in Los Angeles, even more so than the Lakers. So, you know, that's the other part. Those teams, like you mentioned, the Dodgers, the Cubs, these teams are always going to, well, the Dodgers specifically, the Dodgers, the Yankees, are always going to be ones that are going to spend money to do whatever is going to happen. Philly's starting to get in there. Philly's another example as well. Philly, plus you've got the Eagles, so you've got that. You've got now more days in a week instead of just saying, okay, Sunday's it, and then we shut it down for the rest of the week. The problem that's going on here in New England is like, damn, all right, we're going to kind of peek in on Sundays, and there's nothing to see during the rest of the week. Like,
yeah. Wake me up in basketball season.
Well, yeah, but that's tough because now you're going to have to pair it with the Bruins, and that may be kind of a forced narrative, right? Because we all know the Bruins narrative really doesn't reveal, it doesn't have its gender reveal until once the playoffs start. So that's the other part of it. So it's fascinating how what is the biggest sports city in America doesn't have its two key sports linking themselves to each other. Like, to have to wait for the Celtics means that you have to go through the spring and summer and into the fall, right? Now,
well,
spring
for us, just the late summer,
right?
You know,
right,
banner
right.
18.
Right. So, but again,
but I get what you're saying,
right? And in terms of starting a season and getting and seeing it from start to finish. I'll even be one to admit to you that like even the NBA really doesn't jump all over my radar until Christmas. I'm still kind of NFL and I'm seeing what's just happened with baseball. So I think it's going to behoove the Red Sox to kind of recognize the whole market dynamic to say, hey, you've spent before. Nobody's saying you have to go buy a World Series team, but buy a team that's going to get you playing games today. Right? The Mets just pulled something, I mean, amazing. Like that OMG stuff, it's like really now, really real. The Phillies spent all that money, they're gone. The Braves are gone. The Dodgers are on the verge of being gone. And what did San Diego do? They spent because they're the only game in town.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money. And even with Juan Soto gone, like that's still an expensive roster.
How crazy that sounds. Usually if you say Juan Soto's gone for a team, it's like, well, there'll be an adjustment in where they're doing. They're like, okay, nah, he's gone.
They got Jackson Merrill who's going to win Rookie of the Year. You know, it's like nuts. And like even the Rangers last year, like I know they came into the playoffs kind of under the radar. Like that's an expensive roster with a lot of stars. Like they just had injuries last year, didn't play as well in spurts. But once they got to the playoffs and you had those guys, they won the World Series.
Right, but they may even tweak things to make sure they're in a better position, especially if the Cowboys suffer this year. Now, luckily, you had the Mavericks. The Mavericks may be able to hold some. God, this is a great business class happening right near here on KJ Lines, right?
Yeah, well, you just look at the difference between 6 years ago, right? The fall of 2018, Red Sox win the World Series, Patriots follow it up with a Super Bowl win. And that's only a few months after the Celtics went to Game 7 of the conference finals, too.
You know what it also does? It makes all the sports gear even cheaper. Like yeah. Your t-shirts are $10, but when you're not winning anything, you're like, well, it's probably cheap there. Like you can, I'll give you a bowl of soup with this if you want. So
don't worry. There's a new City Connect jersey coming next year.
Oh gosh, please. They could save those. KJ and Lions presents its first annual Sportstoberfest We crack them open next because we know our bosses have turned in for the night here on WEEI.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI on your Wednesday night. Thanks so much for hanging out. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937 still to come. We'll talk about Drake May getting ready for Sunday's game, plus the just weird stuff how Drake May's teammates just found out today, even though we all knew yesterday that this was happening. I know we're in the rumor mill and everything, but it'll be interesting perspective we'll have to give on, like, is this a leak in the franchise? That's coming up at 9 o'clock. Guys, so one of Zach and I have talked about this. I hadn't talked to you about it, John, is how do you handle your food choices once you get out of here? Because either we have the option to either eat before we get in here, but you're beating like hella traffic, right, to get here.
Yeah, so I actually today I brought food with me and ate it at like 5:30.
That's what you were chewing on when I came downstairs. I was like, gosh, is John already, you're already eating. Like, for me, my concern is, and I've even when I was doing mornings, I couldn't drink coffee. Okay, I got over that after a while. But for a point, I would not drink coffee before a show because I wouldn't want to depend on that coffee to give me my energy. I always want to tap into myself for my energy. I don't want to be like, oh, I need to pick me up. And it's the same thing now coming in here. Like, I don't want to eat before the show, but I found out the hard way a couple of nights, like last week, I stopped and got some fast food and ate that thing. And brother, by 4 a.m, I woke up in sweats. My head was banging and everything. I'm not going to say the restaurant. All I'll say is, oh man, the fries are so good, but they're so salty, man. It just like dried up my body. Like, is there like, Zach, when you leave here, are you bringing food here and eating it before the show and I don't see it, or are you waiting until after the show?
So I know we talked about this last night, but last night I didn't bring any food and I was really hungry by the end of the show. So today I brought a couple of sandwiches and I ate those.
Two sandwiches.
I usually eat a big meal before and then like later, like at some point during the show, like one of the commercial breaks, I'll have some like a granola bar.
You're
or something
snibbling off. I see you sneaking off nibbling. I'm like, what is John going to do? Like,
because I don't eat after, because I go home and go right to bed because I have to be at work at like 6:45 in the morning. Yeah. So like, I get up early and eat early.
Oh, so that's the thing. Like last night I got in the house, I was like, oh my God, yes, they made dinner. And I ate it almost kind of like I just gave testimony from some type of prisoner camp, you know, like, I'll give you all the goods, just give me some of that chicken that was cooked in the air fryer.
Under duress.
The mac and cheese. It was like, this is the best meal ever. And then I sit there and I go, well, gosh, now I'm going to have to stay up for like 2 or 3 hours to digest this so that way I don't wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh. And my wife go, finally, the one I've been waiting for. No, I'm kidding. 37937. We're minutes away from Sportstoberfest, where we've got 2 12-packs that me, John, and Zach, why not, we're going to get in here and kill. What do you have on the text line?
All right, this one's going back to the Jabril Peppers conversation from earlier. Why doesn't he just show the video that he claims to have to the team in the NFL to avoid any suspension?
Maybe they have seen it. And maybe that's why he hasn't been cut. That sound crazy, John?
No, it doesn't sound crazy. I just feel like if they've seen it, then you wonder if it would have been like leaked at some point. So the public would
see
it.
Oh, no, there's no way. There's no way it would be leaked.
No, just the amount of people that, you know, come across it in a situation like that. But yeah, I mean, that's why, again, going back to the original thing, it's one of those, like, if you have video evidence that exonerates you, you figure the process wouldn't take till November 22nd, but I'm not a lawyer, so.
I think it's just one of those situations where young guys, players, because they're all still relatively young. I think Peppers is, what, 29?
That sounds right.
Yeah, so still not 30, and you would have to say, you know, once you get into these intimate situations, if they're even really considered intimacy, I'm not saying it's anything nefarious. Let's call it what is it. Once you're in a sexual situation, I think there's probably some ground rules you need to have mentally in the back of your head before any of that stuff goes down, because it can be misconstrued as something else and it was supposed to be something else. That's the closest I can get to that third rail without saying. I would say go listen to Nas's Remember the Times, and somewhere it's in there. I don't know if you guys know that song, but Google Nas's Remember the Times, and that might get some answers of why the videotape has been shown, at least to his lawyer, and the lawyer come out and say, hey, When you see the videotape, you'll see why my client should be exonerated. So that's a very interesting statement to make, considering November 22nd is the next court appearance involving the matter. All right. More of your texts still to come at 37937. But now it is time for our first annual Sportstoberfest. John, I know this is supposed to be a cultural enjoyment, but Oktoberfest is here, and we have a Sportstoberfest where some of our favorite Boston sports personalities, we've kind of given them their flavor of beer. We'll tell you the strength. And maybe we'll give you a reason for that flavor, all right? Who's going to bust open the first one? I know, Lions, you're ready. Go ahead, open yours, buddy.
First one here on the list, KJ, the Swayman Swish.
Chug, chug, chug.
See, to me, this is a medium strong. After last night's first period, I think he had a case for it to be extra strong. A medium strong. I think he's good, but we got to see it for a full year.
All right, let me go ahead and crack mine open. Swayman Swish medium. Maybe had a strong kick at first. It tastes like a hard cider, but an aftertaste like one of those girly beers. Like I would want to, I think I'd have to drink more to really appreciate the Swayman Swish.
That's usually what happens.
Okay, so go ahead, Zach. Fire one up.
Alrighty, I'm going to go with the same thing. I agree with you, KJ. I need to see a little bit more Swayman. Obviously, he's been splitting time with Allmark for the last 2 years. He kind of took over the net in the playoffs, but I want to see it for a full season, so medium.
All right, next beer we're going to try here, the Pritchard IP43. You like that name?
I do, especially from half court. Medium for me. Medium for me.
Okay.
He can do some great things. But, he's the seventh man on the team. It's not like he's Tatum or Brown, but he does some great things.
All right, my turn to take a little sip of this. Ooh, this is kind of strong. Not strong, but strong. Bold, crisp flavor, but like a malt liquor. It could do too much in short periods of time. So I like this Pritchard, but like malt liquor, like I can only take it in spurts, so I don't want to have too many of these because it could go wrong if it's too much. Zach, go ahead and get you a swig.
So I like Peyton Pritchard a decent bit. I feel like every single team needs to have a guy like that, like a guy you can kind of rag on a little bit. Like I know Tatum, Brown, all those regular guys like to give him some crap. But obviously he can go out there and he can hit some threes. So I'm a Pritchard guy. I'll give him a medium again.
All right, Zach, go ahead and open this Breslow Brulo for John here. Go ahead, crack it open for him. Chug, 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 chug,
I'm going to go medium here. Last year it was a weak beer, but I think he's going to spend a little more this offseason, so I'll upgrade it to medium.
Real medium. All right, let's crack one open for me, Zach. Here we go. Kind of with you, John. I'm going to go like medium weak. It'll get you buzzed, but don't overspend on this beer because it's got some hangover material to it. You know what I mean? Like it's like, don't pay too much for it. So maybe here's a better quality brewed Breslow. Maybe I'll come back to it. All right. Oh, this one looks pretty good, man. The Mayo Can. Uh-huh. Go ahead, John. Try it out.
Yeah, I get the sense this is non-alcoholic right now.
No
bite to it right now. Maybe they'll rebrew it. No bite yet. But right, again, Zach, not bad for you.
Just, all right, Zach, crack it open because, man, we've been blown through these beers.
Yeah, I think it's pretty weak again so far. I do like that he, like, I'm going to believe that it was his decision to go with Drake May over Jacoby Brissett. And to me, that was looking at the offense against the Dolphins and just saying, this just isn't good enough. We can't move the ball downfield. Like, frankly, I know Jacoby Brissett said that the first read on that last play of the game was Pop Douglas and he was covered, and then you see the all 22 and he looks open along the sidelines. He also could have just thrown the ball away. So I think that's Mayo's first big step into becoming maybe a little bit stronger, but so far pretty weak.
John, I think Zach is getting a buzz because he is very wordy. Have you noticed that? Like he's the words. I mean, they were clear words.
Before we know it, after the show, he's going to drive back to the North Shore.
Hey, no Earl in the parking lot. Okay. That's the rule. We're not throwing up after this. Anybody bring any money for some bratwurst, man? We got to eat something. Like, we're like, I'm starting to feel a bit buzzed here. Okay, let me try this mayo can that you guys just said was kind of weak. Strong, but that's as strong non-alcoholic beer you guys are, right? Like, the fizz is there, but it's like strong when it first hits, but ultimately it doesn't really have the punch just yet. It's non-alcoholic. Shout out to those who are drinking the non-alcoholic beers. I think you would like the mayo can. All right. Ooh, this one I think just come off the shelf. The Drake May Fast. John, try it out.
You know what? I'm not going to. This is unopened, special aged in a barrel. I'm going to wait until Sunday to try it.
Zach, did you just drink the beer?
I may have.
Well, okay, I'll keep this unopened as well, John, because this may be a collector's item.
True.
I know people want to open. It's going to be open this week. I don't think people will get drunk off of this just yet. So, in fair enough. Okay. Ooh, let's see. Let me count how many beers we got left here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 beers. We drank 18 beers already. Wow. The Tatum Tall Boy. Try it out, Zach.
Yeah, that's a strong one. Obviously, didn't win finals MVP, didn't get a whole lot of playing time in the Olympics, but I think this is going to be a bit of a Tatum, not necessarily comeback story, but like a prove them wrong story. I am going to place money on him to be the MVP this year, so I'm buying in on a big Tatum.
He must be drunk already because he's ready to gamble. Open one up for my man, John Lyons, because... Woof, seeing double already.
Nickname for this, the Young King Ale, because it's the strongest of them all. Or
really?
The NBA 2K Ale. Yeah.
I like that. So
this is the best. This is the best one we've had so far.
Best beer so far. Wow. Okay, well, let me go ahead and try this one here. Damn, you guys are right. Bold, crisp. Friends are even going to tell friends outside of New England, this is amazing. You're absolutely right, Lyons. This is the best tasting beer we've had so far. And considering it probably tastes really good after we just drank a non-alcoholic beer not too long ago.
Call it the Supermax beer.
Right, exactly. Who wants to try this bald white, the Derek White, the bald white? That sounds... I'm going to try this first. All right, crack it open for me, Zach. Medium to strong. It's a good beer. I have a strong feeling that once a lot of people know about this beer, it might lose some of its bold flavor. So watch out for adjustments as the season comes along. So maybe this tastes better because it's the fall. I wonder if it makes some adjustments when it comes time to the spring.
No, I think this is a nice summer ale, just like Derek White is a nice playoff player.
Really? So, like, I know we've been drinking here pretty...
This is the guy that hits the game-winning shot against Indiana. This is the guy.
I don't want to get into a drinking argument about, is red better than green as a color? But, like, you don't switch, like, your liquors, like, drink light liquor in the summer and darker liquor in the fall?
I'm just having what you gave me.
Okay. Oh, so my beer's not good enough for you?
No,
my beers are not good enough for you?
Playoff stuff.
Clearly, you're drinking for free. My beer's not good enough for... Okay, look, okay, Zach. I've had too many. I can clearly see... Let's try this Missoula Dula. I like this, John. Bold, crisp. I already have an intellectual buzz to go along with my regular buzz. All right, open up a can for him, Zach, because the less John talks, the less I get mad.
His back, it's on his forehead, right between his eyes. Locked okay. In.
Zach, before we go, do you have like a Marlboro Light on you, or like a Marlboro Red? Because when I drink, I gotta get a cigarette in my hand. Oh, we can't smoke in the building. All right, go ahead and finish off this case, bro.
Yeah, so I think this is a non-alcoholic beer. I think it's one of those beers that you might get at that place down the street that I occasionally like to go to and sit down, watch a movie, maybe about some killer whales and their hunting patterns, a nice nature documentary. But that's what I got on the Missoula beer.
Well, I'll tell you what, as we go to break, I'll buy us some brats. Get us sobered up for the last hour of KJ and Lyons here on WEEI. Happy Oktoberfest!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.